Today's show is pre-recorded. We won't be taking calls.
This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to bring important information to parents, teachers, and everyone who cares for and about kids. Today, I'm excited to have joining me in studio Beth Samuelson, the founder and director of Student Organizational Services, who's the co-host for the Your Teen Matters series that we've been doing now since 2009. Hi, Beth.
Good morning, Rona. I'm excited about the show today.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, we're going to be talking with some wonderful guests and parents about affordable alternative options for traditional public schools. And one of the reasons that I'm particularly excited about this is I think as we come into a period where school funding is stressed and there are more and more people concerned about the quality of education in urban areas, particularly Oakland. I live in Oakland. Everybody's worried about schools. Where can parents go? Everybody wants to know, where can we send our kids? Is this the only game in town? And it's not. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, there's some great public schools. We really want to look at the fit for a child.
Yes.
Every child is different. You know, I think about my four grown kids and, you know, one went to Oakland School for the Arts for a few years. And most of my kids went to Berkeley High in the CAS program. And one of my kids really couldn't do well in the public school. It was just too big. And then she went to a private school. So there's a lot of options. And I think it's important for us to talk about them, especially in this economic time when people can't necessarily send their kids to private school either.
Right. I mean, it's expensive. And $25,000 for a year is not what everybody can do. And a lot of people feel it's either that or I'm stuck with my local public high school that I don't like. And it's actually true now that there's not one size that fits all. There's lots of options.
Yeah. I think this will be great. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Absolutely. So we actually would love to hear from you in our listening audience this morning. Tell us about the ways that you've made decisions for the kinds of schools that you want to send your kids to and how you found a good fit school-wise for your kids. What was your experience like? What was your kids' experience like in high school? If you want to be part of our conversation today, which we would love, call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. Or you can email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. Joining us in the studio this morning is David Richards, Executive Director of Summit Public School Tahoma, which will open its doors in East San Jose in the fall. Congratulations, David, on that. Previously, David worked as a teacher at Summit Preparatory Charter High School in Redwood City and has taught in the Bay Area as well as in Costa Rica and Mexico. Prior to changing careers to education, David worked in various fields in the business and nonprofit sector and as a curriculum writer and a special education consultant. He's also led workshops for students and parents with Student Organizational Services. We go back a really long time. And he lives in San Jose with his wife and son. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, David Richards.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I'm absolutely thrilled.
And it's great to meet you, and I'd like to introduce our phone guests. We have Phil Halpern with us. He's the lead teacher of the Communication Arts and Sciences program at Berkeley High School, better known as CAS. And CAS is a small school that emphasizes media literacy and communication skills, and it's in a context of social justice. Phil began his teaching career 20 years ago at Berkeley High School and also taught at the Berkeley Alternative High School. He's the proud father of three children, and I know him because two of my kids were in the CAS program with him. Phil Halpern, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great to hear from you this morning. So we should start with David.
David, absolutely. You're a principal of a new charter school, opening for the first time this September. But you have experience also with the traditional public high schools. You were at Skyline High School in Oakland, as a matter of fact. So what I'm interested in is why you decided to stay with the charter school scenario, how it's benefited you as a teacher and now as an administrator, and what you see the differences for kids.
And I think just occurred to me, you might say what a charter school is.
Yes.
For people who may not know.
That
yeah.
would really be a good,
yeah.
yes, let's start with that. Tell us what a charter school is compared to a traditional public school.
Yeah, absolutely. So a charter school is basically another option or another choice for parents, and it's essentially once you can get your school approved by the local district, the county, or the state, then you can operate a public charter school, which is basically funded by the per student allocation, just like a public school is. Mm-hmm. And you know, they have different kind of themes and different models, but they're all looking to provide a different opportunity and a different choice for parents.
So the question that also, I think, Beth, I like the question you asked about why are you working in that realm now? What do you think is beneficial about the charter schools?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, for me, it was really important once I went back to school to become a teacher, and after spending a lot of time in large organizations in the corporate world and small businesses and nonprofits, I really felt like I wanted to create change and impact change as soon as possible. And so I was an eager grad student and got out of grad school and went into, you know, a big public high school skyline. And the teachers and students were great, but I was too impatient. I really wanted to see more change. I didn't want to see as many students falling through the cracks. So one of my friends that I'm actually still been working with for a long time, Diego Arambula, actually recruited me to Summit Prep in Redwood City. And what I love about it is the reason I've stayed there for the last 5 years is that it's a place where you can be innovative. It's sort of the place where if you think about the ideal location for an educator, that's it. It's where the students come first. It's where the parents are involved. It's where there's constant innovation. There's creativity. There's literally a vibe and a culture as you walk in the door. And so that's what's kept me there for the last 5 years, is always trying to learn how to improve the experience for the students, and not doing it in 5 years, doing it in 5 minutes. So if we see something that's not working, we work collaboratively, we make all decisions by consensus. That afternoon in our meeting, we'll say, look, that remediation program is not working. Let's sit together with everyone's mind, work collaboratively, and figure out the best way to solve this problem. And by tomorrow, we're going to implement it.
Sounds like less bureaucracy.
Less bureaucracy. How does a student get into a charter school? Like, what's the, you know, I don't want to go to Skyline. I want to go to Summit Prep. Like, what's the difference? How do I get in?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, the law states that you cannot have any kind of admissions preferences for your charter school. So essentially, the student has to fill out an application. One thing we've done is create a one-page application. Keep it very simple. Name, address, date of birth, that kind of stuff. They turn in that application. If the charter school's over-enrolled, by law, they have to hold a public lottery. And so, for example, at Summit Prep, we've created a really strong reputation. And last year, between Summit Prep and Everest, which is our second school in Redwood City, we actually had 500 applications for one spot.
Wow.
So you can see the sort of demand that there are from parents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get another point of view about the public high schools.
Absolutely.
Phil Halpern, tell us about the CAS program that you've been involved with at Berkeley High and what you've seen over the years as Berkeley High has embraced the small school movement.
Well, the journey that we've been on is a 14-year long one, and even with that, I appreciate what David is talking about in terms of a sense of urgency and kind of a dynamism that you get in a smaller setting. When I started at Berkeley High, there were no small schools, and you felt this enormous inertia around any kind of reform efforts one might initiate, and we realized that with a smaller configuration, we could do a lot of things better. Most of all, collaborate with one another and parents to serve students well. So our current size, 240 kids total, is a reflection of that. What we find, an enormous difference in making a four-year commitment to students and their families, as opposed to, at that time, a one-semester commitment.
Right.
And we're really seeking different outcomes. Our desire is to educate the whole student. We want them to do well in a traditional academic sense, and we want them to do well in more than that, as people, as citizens, as participants in making society more equitable.
You've had students who have really gone on to do some great stuff, you know, having known some of them, and I think you know, I know that a lot of parents were worried about the academics when they put their kids in a program that's called communication, you know, arts and sciences. And there are choices at a school like Berkeley High where you can decide where your child would fit better.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Phil, what are some of the options for people in terms of the small schools there, the academies?
Families can do is to get educated as to what's real, because there's so many misconceptions about the different choices at Berkeley High. One of the most basic facts is that all six of the learning communities at Berkeley High are college prep. We've all got indicators of our success. One that I'm particularly proud of with CAS is the schools to which our kids go after CAS. We've sent kids to all the Ivy Leagues back east and the prestigious public schools all over the country. And though that's just one indication of what we're doing, we feel really proud of that. So a site visit is a great place to start. I really encourage parents to reach out to teachers and administrators and initiate the conversations that will help them understand their choices. I mean, no learning community at Berkeley High is for all kids. They all have unique character. They all have certain important things in common, like I said, college prep courses, et cetera. But you want to find the best fit for your kid. CAS is not just about media and media literacy. It's also about, it's above all else, it's about social justice and helping kids to understand what that means and how they, as you know, working people and citizens and high school graduates, can contribute to making the world a fair and more equitable place.
Thank you, Phil.
If you want to join us this morning in our conversation about charters in school within schools, please give us a call, 877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-5437. And we're giving away something different this morning. We offer student organizational services during the summer, offers a series of workshops for kids, high school and middle school students, study strategies, workshops, and we're going to offer a $100 gift certificate to a caller this morning with a middle school or high school student to attend one of those workshops. So another incentive to weigh in this morning.
Thank you, Beth. And that's both in Contra Costa and in Montclair?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, let's take calls. I'd love to hear from parents. We have William with us this morning from Redwood City. Good morning, William.
Morning. I'm sort of have a unique situation. We've had two older children who have attended traditional high schools, and I have one son who's now a freshman at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, who was actually one of Dave Richards' students, and I have another student who's a sophomore at Everest Public High School in Redwood City, the sister school to Summit. One of the things that I found positives in both the traditional and the charter school program, and so I think wherever you look, you can find this reform going on within our schools. What comment that I want to make, that I really think the process that Summit has did a lot of good for my students, from the fact that the student was assigned a mentor for the entire four years when they were at school, meaning in this case Dave Richards was the faculty member in charge of my student along with 15 other students, and that was fantastic in terms of the continuation of there's always someone looking out for the student. There's always a direct faculty contact for us as parents to maintain contact with, but it's also developed a very strong peer network among the students. I think that was a very, very positive force in terms of keeping everybody on track, keeping clear communications, and establishing a clear set of expectations both for the students and the parents. The other thing that I feel that really was very powerful, and this sounds simple, but compared to our experience with traditional high schools, it can be quite complex. Every single piece of homework was required to be turned in. So if the students were missing an assignment, they would have to serve detention or study hall. Detention was not the right word, excuse me. Study hall after school in order to make up the assignment.
Let's hear what Beth has to say about that.
I'm fascinated by that because that really is talking about accountability and holding students accountable and following through and not just dropping the ball. I mean, what we see a lot with public high schools is just simply for lack of time. Kids don't turn in homework. It just shows up on their printout that the homework's missing and
grades go down
and by the end of the quarter there's nothing you can do and too bad for you. And also, the other thing is that homework also often doesn't get graded anymore. It's just turned in and stamped because teachers are just too burdened by for time. And so I really like what you're saying about the charter schools, at least some, holding their feet to the fire.
Yeah, so let's hear our guests respond to that too. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely. I think what William brings up, which is really kind of says, you know, what our model is all about, is this issue of high expectations. And so what we've been really successful in doing in the last 8 years is getting 96% of our students into a four-year college. And these students are coming from the same neighborhoods as the district. Almost half of them are first-generation college students. And so what William's talking about is this expectation where from day one, we tell them, you're going to college. You're going to a four-year college, no matter what anyone's
told
you.
What if they don't want to go to college?
We tell them you're going to a four-year
college. So if they go to that school, they know that that's part
absolutely,
of what they're doing.
Absolutely. Okay. And to be honest with you, several students come to that school saying they don't want to go to college. And not because they don't want to, but because people have told them that they can't. And so we rewrite that narrative from day one. And we say, you're going to go to college, and we're going to set humongous expectations for you, and we're going to provide loads of support. And that example that William gave in terms of the homework is exactly what our model is based on.
Phil Halpern, you work at this huge school, Berkeley High School. We know that there are students who are doing well and students who aren't doing well. And anything you want to say in response to William's point here?
Yeah, the caller in particular brought up the issue of individualized attention to meet the student's unique needs. And that's what one gets when one chooses a smaller school setting. As a teacher who's taught in both formats, where I saw 150 kids a day and the 150 kids switched at the semester, I can tell you that it becomes a very factory-like experience. But as I mentioned earlier, a long-term commitment in which I know the kids' struggles are not going on to some other teacher to solve, I am that much more engaged with that student to help them reach a high level of achievement.
So if I'm understanding correctly, Phil, you stay with the student from the beginning. So freshman year, the student can expect then in the school, the small school setting, to stay with the same faculty all the way through. Is that right?
It's not that I'm going to be that kid's English teacher for four straight years, but as one of two English teachers in my small school, I know I'm going to see them again eventually. Mm-hmm. Now, we're putting in place a program, a system called looping, where I would, in fact, see them at regular times in say, 10th and again in 11th. But they're our students. We're in for the long haul. And in fact, we maintain relationships with students well after high school, like Rona's kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, William, your point is that what you got with your kids is they got peer relationships where the school actually made sure that they had some kind of mentorship and they got accountability. And, William, I really appreciate you calling this morning. Final word before we head off to a break here?
Well, It has worked out very, very, very well in our case. And just, I guess the final word really is, what I appreciate about this program is sometimes the kids don't get it the first time around. Sometimes they do have to revise their work. Sometimes they do have to have the time and patience from the system to go back and relearn a subject that was a challenge to them in the beginning.
I remember doing that a lot. That's right. And they have the support to do that.
Have really excelled.
Yeah. Well, William, thank you so much, and best of luck to you and your kids. It sounds like they've had a good launching there. Thank you so much.
They have.
Yeah. We're talking about alternative options. Beth, you said there are schools that no one knows about.
There are schools that no one knows, yes. And I feel like parents need to know what's available, and that's why we're here today.
Absolutely. And in a moment, we'll take your call. Today's show was pre-recorded. We won't be taking calls.
Pick up the phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. In need of learning infant CPR? Well, mark your calendars for Anna Griffin's upcoming classes, which will be held at Samuel Merritt University in Oakland, Saturday, December 7th at 6:30 and December 10th at 9 a.m. To register for this class, call 510-653-8573. That's 510-653-8573. Support for Families with Disabilities in San Francisco will hold a workshop on Social Security information Monday, November 28, 10 to noon. This workshop will introduce participants to supplemental security income and Social Security disability insurance and the benefits associated with each. Participants will also review qualification requirements and when to recommend parents to file for disability and reasons for seeking legal counsel. For more information, call 415-920-5040. That's 415-920-5040. For additional information on events, call 510-663-5437 and to submit information, email info@childhoodmatters.com.
The number of overweight children in America has tripled since 1980, mainly due to unhealthy eating and a lack of physical activity. When a child is overweight, they can be at risk of developing health problems like type 2 diabetes and emotional problems from being teased. Adults play an important role by eating healthy and making physical activity a part of family life. Limit junk food, provide healthy snacks, go for walks, bike rides, take the stairs, and have fun. This Childhood Matters health tip is made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
Tobacco smoke is full of toxic chemicals that are harmful to young children's growing bodies. Exposure to secondhand smoke increases kids' risk for developing asthma, ear infections, and other health problems. Protect your child by creating smoke-free environments. Do not smoke near your child or allow others to smoke inside your home. And in the car, follow the law. In California, it is illegal to smoke in a car with a child passenger. Most important, be a role model. Kids are more likely to become smokers if their parents smoke. The best thing you can do to protect your family's health and your health is to quit smoking. For free help to quit smoking, call the California Smokers Helpline at 1-800-NO-BUTS. That's 1-800-662-8887. Or visit tobaccofreeca.com. And for more information about early childhood development, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. And first5california.com/parents. Brought to you by your local First 5.
Your public library is home to valuable and free local resources. Here are some tips to introduce children to the library. Visit often. Have the librarian recommend books specific to your child's interests. Get children involved by letting them choose books to read. Get a library card for your child and help them check out books. Ask about weekly story times and activities. Many offer free opportunities for young children to listen to storytellers and participate in art projects and singing. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with David Richards, Executive Director of Summit Public School Tahoma in San Jose, Phil Halperin, the lead teacher of the Communication Arts and Sciences program at Berkeley High School, and my co-host for this series, Your Teen Matters, is Beth Samuelson, Director of Student Organizational Services.
I want to talk about how there are these free alternatives to traditional public high schools that people really, again, people don't know about, and that not only do we have charter schools, and there's 800 alone in California,
yeah.
800 charter schools, and we've got public schools now, public high schools, like where Phil Halperin is, Berkeley High, where there are these small schools, academies, and also Oakland Tech that have options for kids where they can focus on a particular topic and go through school in that area. And I think this is really news for a lot of people, and people need to know that they don't need to be stuck with their traditional public high school setup.
You know, Beth, we Felsha interviewed some students at the Kipps School here in the East Bay, and I'd like to listen
Let's
to what they
them.
Have
yeah.
to say. Yeah.
I'm producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with three students at Kipp Collegiate High School in San Lorenzo about their experience in an alternative school. Why did your family decide to enroll you in a Kipp school versus a traditional public high school?
It started in fourth grade when my school system, the principal changed, and so the school system was not as good as it used to be, and the teachers no longer were as involved as they were previous to the change in the principal, and so my parents were looking for a new school.
We came from LA, and my mom, she was always scared that I would go into like a bad public school, and then we moved to the Bay Area, and she heard about Kipp, and I was like, I don't really want to go.
She was looking for a better education, so she was looking for the opportunity to find a place where teachers actually cared about students' learning.
And what do you think makes this school different from other public schools?
Well, I think that perspective students have on an education is very unique to this school, and the small campus, I guess, and the small student body makes it so that people can share beliefs and share ideas easily, and as well, what people see as cool here is not the same as what people see as cool in public schools. Here, it's cool to be intelligent, to be a smart kid. It's something that you always want to be. And so it makes you want to look up to those who seek more and who try a lot more than it is in public schools.
So this school definitely sets you a mindset that you're going to college, no matter if it's a UC, a private, a CSU, a community college. You're going to college, you're going to get higher levels of education, and that mentality is something that people in other high schools, like in public high schools, I assume that not everybody has. It's different because, well, we are expecting young people of color to not gain higher levels of education, but we are going to do that.
One thing is that since the school is so small, we're able to build relationships with technically every single person. And when there's a new person on campus, everyone knows that that person's new. And that's the unique part about it. The sense of family on this campus is not something you're going to find in any other place.
And do you have any words of advice for students who are looking into alternative options to traditional public high school?
It's not enough to just go home and do homework. It's not enough to just study for a test. A student who works hard now won't have to work as hard in the future.
Like in the end, even the long nights, the hard work, a lot of homework, it's all going to be worth it.
Every school has its pros and cons. It's just what's best for the student.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Well, I was really intrigued by the themes in those conversations. One was particularly the relationships that the students formed at the school with the faculty and the community, the close-knit community, the intimacy of being at this particular thing was a charter school, but I'm sure it's comparable to, Phil can speak to that, the academies and so forth. Relationships, the focus on that you're going to college, you know, here are kids from low-income areas that wouldn't have perhaps even been an option in a traditional public setting, but these other schools say this is an option. This not only is it an option, we're making it mandatory. You can hold this expectation. And there was a feeling of hope in all this, that these kids felt that their life was full of possibility because of attending this school. And I thought that was great. And I'd be really interested to hear what David thinks about those conversations.
I absolutely loved every single word. And I think what you heard going through every single one of their conversations is the same thing I talked about, which is each and every one of them believes they're going to go to college, and they're saying things like students come first, it's small, it's personalized. Essentially what they're saying is that they're getting a really great education, and they own that, and they believe it.
Phil, anything you want to respond to there?
For students to have a sense of belonging in their school is a unique and wonderful thing to see, because the more typical experience for teenagers is that they're treated like pariahs in society. And when kids come to school with a sense of belonging and a sense of ownership, and they feel supported by the adults there and one another, then they can, you're more in control of the culture in a smaller school.
That's right.
You know, in a school of 3,400 like Berkeley High, the adults are just barely staying kind of in front of the madness.
That's right.
And in a small school, you can collaborate with parents, students, and teachers to establish common values.
That's right.
Post-high school plans around language in the classroom, language in the hallway, avoiding things like homophobia and sexism that people tend to turn a blind eye to. And
Yes.
You can make the school what you want it.
And when something happens bad, like, you know, over the years, the CAS students have dealt with, you know, deaths of students. They've dealt with all kinds of things. That community is really there on an emotional level, which is another huge piece, because if you feel emotionally supported, your learning is going to be different. Let's take more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. We have Lisa with us now from Menlo Park. Hi, Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. Oh, let's see if she's there. Let's check it out. We have Lisa on the line with us? Yes? Having a little trouble here with the phones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you...
There you go. Good morning.
I'm having the trouble with the phone, so I apologize if you lose me. I've driven all over the island I'm on to try and find cell service.
Oh, well, let's make it quick. What would you like to say about alternative schools for high school for your kids?
Well, I got to hear through part of William's call, and like William, I have one child that went through Summit as a charter.
Look at that.
Yep, that's the beauty of mobile phones.
She was here, and she left again. Let me ask you this about, you know, because we talked to Lisa a little bit beforehand, and she was going to talk a little bit about kids with learning differences, and maybe you can say something about that, David, in terms of, you know, I have learning differences and ADD, and I know that in a big school, I just got lost and, you know, never was identified. How do you work with kids with their neurodiversity?
Absolutely. So Beth and I have worked on this for years together, and it's near and dear to our heart. And I will say that essentially what we do is what we do with every student. So we personalize the education and we look to see what exactly it is that they need. And Beth and I were talking about this before the show, that essentially when you look at our Lisa's son's a perfect example of somebody who came in with an individualized education plan. And by his junior year, he was counseled out. So essentially, we provided him with the supports and the individualized education that he needed to no longer be in that special education program. The other really big piece is that, again, it's an expectations game. We believe that every single student will go to college, regardless of where you've come from, what your academic preparation is. And if we're going to say that public schools are going to be the great equalizer, we need to make sure that more than 1 out of 10 low-income students are graduating from college, because that's what's happening today. And Lisa's son's a perfect example of someone who's really excelled in a small school, creative, innovative. I was telling Beth that he ended up essentially being our technology director. He worked with the director of technology.
Wow.
And, you know, he did so many things by the time he graduated. This kid, Lisa will tell you if we get her back on the line, he would show up before the teachers at 7 a.m. every single day. And Lisa said in eighth grade, she couldn't get him out of bed.
And so, that's what you do a lot of.
Yeah, that's what we do. I mean, it's all about really helping kids find what their strengths are and working to those strengths and learning how to live with and accommodate for their challenges and their weaknesses. And a large public high school, really, they struggle to do it. They can't do what a smaller school like a charter or like a school within a school can do.
That's right. And Phil, I would imagine when you've been working in the small school with the CAS program, you can really pick up on the kids who have never been identified with a learning difference. Is that right?
We're talking about getting to know kids over the long term so that you understand their unique academic needs, their emotional needs. You learn about their family because you're working with their family. And you can kind of empower the kid around their own education so that over the course of our 4 years with them, we allow students to direct their learning more and more. And any kid, and by the way, you used the phrase, I think, learning differences. Well, we kind of come in with the idea that all students have learning differences.
Yeah.
And we seek to meet their unique needs by knowing them and their families and where they're coming from.
Well, I was going to say that even having academies that have different specialties like communication arts, like social justice, like health, biotech is really addressing kids' interests and passions and what their strengths are. And so right there, the school is set up to meet kids' individual needs.
You're listening to Childhood Matters. Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
We have more calls now. Let's see if Julie is ready on the line here to speak with us. And do we have Julie? Yes, we do have Julie. Hi, Julie. You're from Berkeley, right?
Right. Good morning.
Good morning. And
hi, Julie.
Julie, so in Berkeley, your kids went through the CAS program?
That's right. Yeah, I have three daughters, and the youngest is about to graduate, and the other two are in their 20s. So I've seen a lot of Cass, and sort of from a lens of three different personalities.
and as a parent, maybe you could talk a little bit as a parent why you decided to go that route in terms of a small school. And my notes here say that you're also a teacher, so you know a lot about education. Just give us an idea of how you decided that.
Well, I mean, I would have to say that I am, at least in my own family, I'm following my daughter's lead. I think that that's an important thing, is to, that sort of started the path of their ownership of their own education. And I have spoken to many parents, I'm a middle school teacher in Berkeley, about the power of having kids in a small school. But what I really feel like is probably, a lot has been said this morning about, you know, the community and how different that is and the teacher getting to know you and all that, but I was asking my youngest daughter just last night about, you know, what do you think is different about your learning experience? And she said, well, for one thing, it's not about being subordinate or passive. She said that she was telling me that she felt like there was a dynamic relationship between the teacher and the student, that even though there's, you know, a planned curriculum, that there's a constant response to how things are going with a particular group, not just how does this individual student learn, but kind of how is this going? Where is our inquiry going if we're looking at education or the prison system or the impact of art on communities or, you know, whatever it is that the group is looking at.
So, Julie, what I'm hearing, sorry, I just wanted to kind of interject and clarify. What I'm hearing you say is that your daughter felt like she was taking an active role in her own education. It was a lot different from the sitting and just listening to the teacher talk and then hand out homework. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that I really emphasize, you know, when I talk to other parents about one of the benefits of being in the small school setting is that I really have seen kids feel encouraged to take risks. And that's not, I mean, in the absolute healthiest sense, not only while they're in high school, but beyond. It really is like a life pattern or you know, habit, is to not only feel the comfort of being in this familiar integrated community in the school, but also it's that combination of both security and a curiosity and a desire to take risks, and the feeling that, you know, if you do that, there's going to be something very satisfying out there. So yes, it's dynamic. It's about being a thinker, a questioner. The community is something that enriches you, not just this one teacher that's standing in front of the room. And, you know, I think that goes way beyond the test that you took at the end of the year, you know, on any given year.
Absolutely. We've got you here, and I wanted you to comment on Julie's discussion. Can you tell, what do you think? Just a blurb for us.
One thing that nobody has mentioned is the fact that CAS is built on the notion of diversity in all its forms. So our classrooms have every ethnicity represented, mirroring Berkeley High's population. We have academic diversity. And what you get once you've established safe and trusting relationships is an environment in which kids learn to work across barriers, cultural barriers, language barriers, gender barriers. And we hope to graduate kids who are going to find a way to contribute to de-stratifying our society. So we've got kind of a values-driven agenda, if you will. And it's really nice to hear Julie talking about her daughters, not just talking about critical thinking, but really understanding at a deep level, because that's sort of the fruit that we're seeking, is when kids really start to own their education, ask critical questions, and take those skills and abilities forth with them into college and beyond.
Phil, we're going to go to a break now, and stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie, so much.
We're talking about alternative options to public high school. We love hearing from you, and in a moment, we'll take your call. Thank you. Today's show was pre-recorded. We won't be taking calls.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Did you know that a recent parent survey showed that nearly 20% of Bay Area parents are concerned that their preteen may be depressed? At KidsData.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. KidsData.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit KidsData.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
We all aspire to live happy and fulfilled lives and raise our children with these values. But the stresses we face day to day can get in our way. Find support with Nurse Rona's podcast, Happiness Matters, with Dr. Christine Carter, author of Raising Happiness, where you'll learn about the science and art of cultivating these values and passing them on to the children in your lives. This podcast is available on our website or on iTunes. For more information, visit us at childhoodmatters.org.
It's never too early to prepare your child for the transition to kindergarten. For many children, the first day of school can be scary. Here are some tips to ease the transition. Read about school. Go to your local library and check out books about starting school. These books can show how other children work through their fears of going to a new classroom. Read these stories with your child and encourage questions. Talk about school. Conversations about school help your child know what to expect and ease fears. Talk about the classroom, teacher, and daily routine. Help build your child's confidence by listening to their fears or doubts. Visit the school. Before classes are in session, plan a fun outing to show your child the school grounds and answer their questions. Kindergarten registration has begun. Call your neighborhood school or district office to inquire about the registration process. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
Studies show that spending quality time together as a family boosts children's self-esteem and promotes healthy social development, especially for young children. Here are tips to build quality family time through everyday activities. Dinner is a great time to turn off the TV and spend some time asking your children about their day. Family meal times help teach young children valuable social skills. Also, show your children the importance of play and exercise by taking them to a local playground or park. The slides, swings, and playground equipment are great for exercise and children's imaginations. And use your time together to learn from and listen to your children, even when running errands. For example, while grocery shopping, ask your children questions about their favorite foods. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Now the man at my house, he's so big and strong.
If you're just joining us, I'm Beth Samuelson, co-host of your Teen Matters series, and today we're talking with David Richards, who's here in the studio with us, executive director of Summit Public School, which is opening in the fall in San Jose, and we've got Phil Halpern on the line, the lead teacher of the Communication Arts and Sciences Small School Program at Berkeley High School. We've also got on the phone, we've got back
Lisa. We have Lisa. She's come back on a landline.
On a landline, yes.
Lisa, we already talked about you, but maybe you can join us for a minute here. Let's put Lisa on the line.
There I am. Can you hear me?
Hi, Lisa. We got you. We can hear you.
Good.
Go ahead. Sorry. We lost you there. And we were just talking about your kids and why you chose to send them to charter. So.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I missed whatever you said. So
that's
if
okay.
I repeat anything.
Yeah. And we're going to take another call. So go ahead and, you know, kind of like boil it down to that essence.
Okay. Am I on the air now?
You are
on the air.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So basically, we chose Summit for our older son because a couple things. He had learning, or he still has learning differences, ADD. We knew he would not shine in the larger high school. You're one of, 600 kids in a class, and he has some amazingly unique gifts that we felt someone needed to notice, and in a much smaller environment, that would be the case. I have to say, Summit not only noticed his special gifts, but they fully capitalized on it. He's shown there like he would never have done at the larger high school. He developed a love of learning that he would have never had. He took AP classes that he would probably not have been given the opportunity to take at the larger high school. It was just such an amazing experience for him. The staff and the teachers there just fully appreciated him, and it just let him find that spark in his life that helped give him the greater focus that he needs to go ahead and succeed in the work world.
Beth, this is what we want to hear from all parents.
This is what we want to hear. And you know, kids, especially with learning disabilities, with ADHD, we know they're at risk in large public environments if they're not given the proper support and attention. And you've just spoken to why these small schools or charter environments, school within a school, can be so successful for kids with learning disabilities and ADHD. I think it's great to hear of your son's success.
Yeah, and I appreciate you finding your landline there, Lisa. And what David said before was that, you know, your son, you say it again, how
I was just sharing how he pretty much became the director of technology. He was like in partnership with our actual paid director. Of technology, so he definitely was really excited.
And that's the whole idea of, you know, Howard Gardner's work and other work of saying, you know, we have multiple intelligences. Beth, you always teach on this.
Yes.
I know Phil Halpern, you know, you're doing media with kids because you know how the child who may not do well in math will be brilliant in media.
Yes.
And Phil, maybe you can say something about that.
Sure. Well, you know, we're well into the 21st century, and we think that kids need to be able to not only process images and sounds, but they need to create them also as a form of self-expression and to facilitate their learning in other academic areas. So, you know, I'm an English teacher first and a media teacher second, and I find that nothing works quite as well in a traditional English classroom as finding other ways in for those kids with different learning styles and different forms of intelligence.
Absolutely. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your input, and I wish you and your son really well.
And for driving around to find a place to talk to us.
That's right.
My pleasure.
And you know, we'll be doing other subjects that you might be able to share your wisdom on, so check out our Facebook page at Childhood Matters and Beth's page at Student Organizational Services. Thank you so much. We're going to try and get another call here. We have Chris now with us, and you know, Chris Bradburn is a teacher at the Oakland School for the Arts in Oakland. And good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Beth. How you doing?
Thanks for calling in. That's so early.
You know, my daughter was there the first year the school opened, and she was there for a couple of years, and there were some administrative issues and problems, and she left. But I have to say, when you talk about multiple intelligences, that school offers amazing, amazing art and music. And maybe you could say something about it so listeners know about it.
Well, okay. As I think you may have mentioned, or if not, we're a charter school in Oakland, but we serve kids from all over the Bay Area. The art programs we have, and of course our program is 6 through 12, so we have a slight difference in our middle school program versus our high school program. But the arts programs that we offer are visual arts, dance, drama, instrumental music, vocal music. Those are the five core programs. And we also have some other programs that are more recent. Digital media, which is kind of similar to visual arts, but more focused on digital filmmaking, that sort of thing. Arts management, that's also one of the core programs in the high school, which is the technical theater design and also the lighting and sound and that sort of work. There is a literary arts program in the high school for kids that are into writing, poetry and journalism and short stories, that sort of thing. And a more recent program, circus arts, which is affiliated with a kinetic arts studio out in Oakland. So we've got a small group of kids coming from the program.
Chris, how you said anybody from around the Bay Area can go to Oakland School, just because it's in Oakland, so that's one of the things about charter schools. It doesn't matter where you come from.
Yes.
How does a student get into Oakland School for the Arts?
Well, the first thing a student or a parent would want to do is go to the website, www.oakarts.org, and take a look at the audition process. While we are a charter school in we will take kids, we can't discriminate, or we don't discriminate on for grades or that sort of thing. We do have an audition process.
Which is very different than other charter schools.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key things, is you do have to get in by merit or talent or promise of talent.
Promise of talent. Okay.
I mean that because there's some kids that come in with
right.
very, very raw talent with not a lot of training, and a child in that situation might be, very likely would be taken over a child with a lot of training that shows less development than you would expect.
Yeah. So basically you audition, you go to the website, you audition, and then it's a very rigorous program. And I think people have to be really prepared for that as well.
It is. It's definitely very intense in the arts. So they get, in the middle school, they get 2 periods a day of focused art training. And in the high school, the entire afternoon after lunch is dedicated to their arts emphasis.
Right.
Do you see people from all income areas applying to Oak Arts, or is
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
We've got some kids from really tough backgrounds in like East and West Oakland. And we've got kids from, we actually have a couple kids from Marin, which is odd, and definitely from other areas in the
You know what's so interesting about this, Chris, too, is that, you know, my daughter was there for a couple of years, and then she transferred to Berkeley High. And, you know, again, it's all about fit. And I won't go into any of the details, but she got to Berkeley High, and then she was in their music program, and she directed a play, and she starred in plays, and she loved it, and it was fabulous, and that turned out to be better. And other people have come to Oakland School for the Arts because it's like an amazing experience for them, and it's the way they thrive. So I think the message there
is the fit.
Is the fit, and it's
what
different.
What kind of kid do you have?
And sometimes you don't know.
And you don't always know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And that's why having all these options is so important.
And to go and look and talk to people. And I want to advise parents to make sure and
yes.
go talk to previous parents, observe the school. Chris, thank you so much, and thank you for the work you're doing with Oakland School for the Arts.
Okay, and the one thing I would advise for a parent or child who's wondering if it's a good fit, we do, certain parents can check in with the admissions office and get a chance to see the school. And the kid, once they are offered admission, they can come and do a shadow day.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Like.
Thank you so much.
Chris, thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye. David, how can people find out about Summit Prep?
Absolutely. So two things. They can go to, well, I'm going to plug for Summit San Jose because that's a school I'm starting next year. So it's www.summitsanjose.org.
Tahoma.
Tahoma, okay,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's where they should go. We do have some spots available. So if you're interested, please apply. And you just have to, you have a preference if you're in the district, but you can apply if you're out of district also.
Where can people go for info on charter schools in general?
There's several places they could go. I would check the CCSA website, and I would go to their individual charter school they're looking for is the best place.
Great. And great. Phil Halpern, 30 seconds, a final word for us?
I would encourage people to go to the Berkeley High School website and find your way to the 6 learning communities individual websites. You'll learn a lot there. And again, a site visit can go a long way, too. I really appreciate this focus on the individual students in an era of, I think, excessive standardization, and it's nice to talk to all of you who seem to be like-minded.
Yes, it's really nice. Beth, a final word from you.
Well, I think just knowing that there are lots of possibilities and there is not a one-size-fits-all, you're not stuck in one path, and I'm so thrilled that there are all these options for people of all income areas and all socio-cultural regions. So more information about our services at Student Organizational Services, please check our website out. It's www.sos4students.com, and we offer a lot of academic support for kids with learning differences.
That's right. And if you are in a school and your child's there for many reasons, they like it, but they're not doing so well, they need you.
Come see us.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Well, thank you to all of our listeners, our guests, and to you, Beth Samuelson. I'm
thanks,
grateful
Rona.
To our team, Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenza Plazola at the controls. Thanks to Mick Renner and Marco Berger for helping us today. Parents, spend time with your kids, and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters,
produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.